Hey everyone, welcome back. We're doing a deep dive today into student learning outcomes.
SLOs.
SLOs, exactly. And to help us unpack all this, we've got some great material from California's coaches. Their Friday SLO Talks series. And you know, we often hear about SLOs as just like another bureaucratic thing.
Right.
But what we're going to see today is that they can actually be a really powerful tool for improving student learning.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to see how these Friday SLO talks are really kind of changing the conversation around SLOs, turning them into something that's much more collaborative and student-centered.
Okay, so let's break this down a bit for our listeners who might not be as familiar with this whole SLO world.
Sure.
Could you give us a quick overview of what SLOs are and why they're so important?
Yeah, absolutely. So SLOs are basically the learning goals for a course or a program.
Okay.
They define, you know, what students should know or be able to do by the time they finish.
Got it.
And they're really meant to make sure that everyone's on the same page about what successful learning looks like.
So it's not just about memorizing facts and figures, right?
Right. It's about developing those higher level skills, those critical thinking skills, problem solving, communication that are really essential for success, not just in college, but also in life beyond college.
Exactly. Those transferable skills that employers are always talking about.
Exactly. And coaches has been really instrumental in pushing this conversation forward, especially through these Friday SLO talks.
Yeah. And from what I've seen, these Friday sessions are not your typical boring academic lectures.
No, not at all.
They've really created a space for honest and open dialogue about SLOs, haven't they?
They have. And it's one of the things that really stood out to me is how they've emphasized practical experiences. So it's not just theorists talking about SLOs. It's educators who are actually in the classrooms implementing these things and talking about the challenges they're facing, the successes they're having, and really sharing what's working and what's not.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like a community of practice, right?
Exactly.
Where educators can learn from each other and get inspired to try new things.
So
what are some of the topics that they've been covering in these Friday sessions?
They've covered a wide range of topics, everything from, you know, the basic how-tos of developing and assessing SLOs to more kind of big picture conversations about how to make SLOs more student-centered, how to incorporate technology, how to really use them to improve teaching and learning.
And one theme that seems to come up a lot is this idea of moving beyond traditional assessment. Right. Like instead of just relying on multiple choice tests or essays, what kind of alternatives are these suggesting?
Yeah. So instead of those traditional methods, they're talking about things like e-portfolios, where students can really kind of showcase their learning over time, demonstrate their mastery of the SLOs in a more comprehensive and meaningful way.
I like that.
Or project-based learning, where students are working collaboratively on real-world problems and really applying what they're learning in a practical setting.
That sounds a lot more engaging than just cramming for a test.
It is, and it's really about making assessment more authentic, more meaningful for students.
And it seems like coaches is really putting a lot of emphasis on centering student voices in this whole process.
They are. And that's one of the things I find really refreshing about their approach is they're not just saying, okay, here's how you do SLOs. They're really saying, how can we make sure that students are partners in this process?
How can we make sure that SLOs are actually benefiting them and not just feeling like another hoop to jump through?
Exactly. And they've been sharing some really great examples of how educators are actually incorporating student feedback into the SLO process, you know, using surveys, focus groups, even just having conversations with students to really understand what they're hoping to get out of their education.
So instead of just telling students what they need to learn, we're asking them, you know, what do you want to learn? And how can we best support you in achieving those goals?
Right. And it's about recognizing that students are not empty vessels waiting to be filled with knowledge. They come to the classroom with their own experiences, their own goals, their own ideas, and we need to tap into that.
And that's what makes the learning process truly meaningful, right?
Absolutely.
But I imagine it's not always easy to make that shift from a traditional top-down approach to a more student-centered one. Were there any discussions in these Friday SLO talks about the challenges or the roadblocks that educators might encounter?
Oh, absolutely. They've been very upfront about the challenges and, you know, acknowledging that it takes time and effort and a willingness to kind of step outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
But I think one of the key takeaways from these talks is that there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Okay.
What works in one context might not work in another. And so it's really about finding what works best for your students, for your institution, for your discipline.
So it's not about just adopting a new set of strategies. It's about fostering a mindset shift, right?
Exactly.
A culture of continuous improvement and collaboration.
Absolutely. And that's where I think these Friday SLO talks are really valuable because they create that space for educators to come together and share their struggles, their successes, their ideas, and know that they're not alone in this journey.
Yeah, it's like a support system, a community of like-minded individuals who are all passionate about improving student learning.
Exactly.
And it sounds like Coaches has really created something special with these Friday SLO talks.
They have.
Now, we've talked a lot about SLOs in general, but I'm curious to dive a little deeper into some of the specific areas that they've been focusing on in these Friday sessions.
Okay.
We touched on this idea of moving beyond traditional assessment and creating a more student-centered learning environment. Can you give us some more insights into how they're approaching those ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that's been really fascinating is how they've been exploring this concept of authentic assessment.
Authentic assessment.
Yeah, so it's really about moving away from, testing knowledge in isolation
Yeah.
and really looking at how students are applying that knowledge in more realistic and meaningful contexts.
So instead of just memorizing facts for a test, it's about using those facts to solve problems, to create something new, to make a difference in the world.
Exactly. And they've been showcasing all sorts of really innovative approaches like project-based learning, where students are, working collaboratively on these complex challenges, or e-portfolios, where students can really kind of curate a collection of their best work and demonstrate their growth and development over time.
It sounds like a much more engaging and meaningful way to assess learning.
It is, and it's also a way to really empower students to take ownership of their learning journey. Instead of just being passive recipients of information, they're actively engaged in creating something, applying their knowledge and skills.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see.
So it sounds like these Friday SLO talks are just a treasure trove of practical strategies and inspiring examples.
They are.
But let's be real for a minute. Sometimes SLOs can feel like just another bureaucratic hurdle, right?
Yay.
Something that's disconnected from our actual learning experiences. Have you encountered that sentiment at all in your work with coaches and these Friday SLO talks?
Oh, absolutely. And, I think that's one of the things that they're really trying to address is this perception that SLOs are just about checking boxes.
Right.
And the Friday SLO talks in particular have revealed some really interesting insights into how that disconnect happens and, more importantly, how we can bridge that gap.
You mentioned the SLO Symposium earlier. Curious how that fits into this bigger picture.
Yeah, so the SLO Symposium was really kind of the seed that blossomed into all of these other initiatives.
Okay.
It started as a fairly small gathering, just a place for people to come together and really kind of grapple with these fundamental questions about SLOs. What are they? Why do they matter? Are we really paying enough attention to student learning? And it was an opportunity to bring together educators and administrators who were really passionate about improving student experiences.
So it sounds like a real grassroots effort to spark some meaningful conversation and collaboration.
Exactly.
Did you notice any shifts in thinking or practice as a result of those early symposiums?
Oh, absolutely. One of the most impactful realizations came from a book by Natasha Jankowski and David Marshall that we shared at the Monterey Peninsula College Symposium.
Okay.
And it really highlighted the fact that SLOs were never really designed with students at the forefront.
Interesting.
And that was kind of a game changer because it really forced us to rethink this whole assessment cycle and how it was impacting students' learning journeys.
So what was wrong with the traditional assessment cycle, and how did this realization lead to changes in the way that SLOs were approached?
Yeah, so the traditional cycle often revolved around, accreditation requirements,
Yeah.
and it was really about doing the bare minimum to meet those standards.
Okay.
And that sometimes led to a pretty fragmented approach,
Can you give me an example of what that looked like?
Sure. So imagine a college that defines, five overarching SLOs, things like critical thinking, problem solving, use of technology, communication, leadership. And instead of assessing all of those consistently, they might only assess one SLO per semester
Oh, wow.
in a rotating cycle. So a student might only get feedback on their critical thinking skills, but not on their progress in, problem solving or leadership. And so it's kind of like trying to understand a symphony by listening to only one instrument at a time.
That's a great analogy.
You miss the richness and the complexity of the whole composition.
And I bet students can feel that disconnect too, right?
Exactly.
Like, I'm working hard on all these different skills, but you're only measuring one of them.
Exactly. And if those results are only being used for, all accreditation reports and they're not being shared with students, then aren't we missing the point of education?
Right.
The emergence of guided pathways further kind of emphasize this need for a more comprehensive and student-centered approach.
Yeah, because guided pathways is all about helping students make progress towards their goals.
Yeah.
But if the ensure learning pillar is weak, then the whole pathway kind of falls apart.
Exactly. And that's where I think coaches and Friday SLO Talks have really stepped in to fill that gap by providing this platform for educators to share best practices and learn from each other's experiences.
So how did these Friday Talks come about? Were they always part of coaches' mission, or did they kind of evolve organically?
You know, they really evolved organically. They emerged during the pandemic as a way to keep those crucial conversations going virtually, you know, when we couldn't meet in person, and they became this space for, you know, informal but really impactful discussions, you know, where educators and administrators could share ideas, best practices without the pressure of formal evaluations.
So like a safe space for genuine collaboration.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how did people respond to this virtual format?
The response was incredible. You know, we started with a pretty small group, but it quickly expanded beyond California. We had people joining from all over the country, even internationally.
Wow.
And the demand just kept growing. And it really showed us how hungry people were for this kind of dialogue and support.
So what are some of the most valuable insights that have come out of these Friday talks? What are the key takeaways that you want our listeners to be thinking about?
You know, I think one of the most powerful takeaways is just this idea of shifting our mindset around SLOs. You know, moving away from seeing them as just these bureaucratic check marks and really embracing their potential to enhance student learning and success.
And that means moving beyond those traditional top-down approaches, right?
Exactly. It's about creating a more collaborative and student-centered environment.
And we've talked about the importance of student voice and agency, but what does that actually look like in practice? Can you give us some concrete examples from the Friday SLO talks of how educators are incorporating student feedback into this whole SLO process?
Yeah, absolutely. There have been some really inspiring examples. You know, some educators have shared how they use surveys and focus groups to gather student input on their learning experiences. Others have talked about using more informal methods like, you know, classroom discussions or online forums to get feedback on their teaching strategies and assessment methods.
So it's really about creating multiple avenues for students to share their thoughts and perspectives.
Exactly.
But gathering feedback is only the first step, right? What are some ways that educators can actually use that feedback to improve their teaching and assessment practices?
Yeah. One of the most important things is to be transparent with students about how their feedback is being used.
Okay.
You know, it's not enough to just collect the data you need to show students that you're listening to their concerns and that you're taking their suggestions seriously.
So make it clear that their feedback is actually leading to changes.
Exactly. And that could involve, you know, making adjustments to your teaching methods, revising your assignments, or even, you know, completely redesigning your course based on student input.
So it's about creating that feedback loop where students feel heard and valued and where their input can directly impact their learning experience.
Absolutely. And that kind of transparency really builds trust and it fosters a sense of shared ownership over the learning process.
This is also fascinating. It sounds like coaches and these Friday SLO talks are really pushing the boundaries of how we think about assessment and student learning.
They are.
We've covered a lot of ground already.
Yeah.
But I'm eager to delve deeper into some specific examples of how these principles are being put into practice and the impact they're having on real students' lives.
Sounds good. I'm excited to get into those examples.
Yeah. Let's talk about some specific strategies that educators are using to move beyond traditional assessment and really create that student-centered experience.
Okay. So one presentation that really stuck with me was about using e-portfolios to assess student learning.
Oh, yeah.
And the professor was explaining how they shifted from relying solely on exams to having students create these digital portfolios that showcase their growth and mastery of the course SLOs.
So instead of just a grade on a test, students are building this collection of work that really demonstrates their progress over time.
Exactly. And what's really neat is that the students have ownership over what goes into their portfolio.
I like that.
You know, they're not just passively completing assignments. They're curating their best work and reflecting on their learning journey.
Yeah. It really puts the student in the driver's seat, doesn't it?
It does.
Did the presenter share any examples of how students reacted to this new approach?
Yeah. You know, they said that students initially felt a little overwhelmed because it was such a different way of thinking about assessment.
Right. Makes sense.
But once they got into it, they really embraced the process. You know, they loved having the freedom to showcase their skills and creativity, and they found it much more motivating than just studying for exams.
That's great.
Yeah.
And did it have any impact on the quality of their work?
Yeah. The professor noticed a significant improvement in the depth and quality of student work.
Interesting.
because, you know, students were more invested in the process and they had a clearer understanding of the learning goals. They put more effort into their projects and were more reflective about their progress.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about ePortfolios. Were there any other alternative assessment strategies that stood out to you in the Friday SLO talks?
Yeah, another one that caught my attention was about using project-based learning to assess SLOs.
Okay.
And this faculty member from a community college was talking about how they redesigned their introductory biology course around a semester-long project where students investigated a local environmental issue.
So instead of just lecturing about biological concepts, students were actually applying what they're learning to a real-world problem.
Right. And it wasn't just about, you know, memorizing facts. They had to work collaboratively to gather data, analyze their findings, develop solutions. And that required, you know, critical thinking, communication, problem solving.
All those essential skills.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did this project-based approach have any impact on student engagement in the course?
Huge impact.
Oh, wow.
The faculty member reported a dramatic increase in student engagement and motivation. You know, students were excited to tackle a real-world problem, and because they were working together, they were supporting each other's learning.
So they're learning the content, but they're also learning how to work effectively in a team.
Right, which is so important for, you know, the workplace these days.
Absolutely. Did the presenter talk about any challenges in implementing this kind of project-based assessment?
Yeah, one challenge they mentioned was just the initial time investment required to design the project and develop all the supporting materials.
Right. I can imagine that's a lot more work up front than just planning a traditional lecture-based course.
It is, but they felt like the payoff was worth it.
Yeah.
In terms of student learning and engagement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did the Friday SLO talks offer any strategies for overcoming those implementation challenges?
Yes. Several presenters emphasized the importance of collaboration.
Okay.
You know, encouraging educators to reach out to colleagues, instructional designers, librarians for support in designing and implementing these innovative approaches.
It takes a village.
It does. And they also highlighted the value of, you know, online resources and communities of practice, like Coaches itself.
Right.
Where educators can share ideas and get inspiration from each other.
Yeah, I love that sense of community and shared purpose.
Me too.
So we've talked a lot about shifting assessment practices, but what about the role of student feedback? How are educators using student input to shape their SLOs and create a more responsive learning environment?
There have been some really inspiring examples of how educators are using student feedback to make improvements. You know, one presenter shared how they implemented a mid-semester feedback process.
Oh, interesting.
Where they ask students specific questions about their learning experience.
Yeah.
You know, what's working well? What could be improved? What suggestions do you have?
I like that, getting that feedback early on in this semester so you can make adjustments as needed.
Exactly. And what was really impressive is that they were very transparent with students about how they were using that feedback. You know, they shared the results of the surveys with the class and explained, you know, here's how we're making changes based on what you told us.
That's huge. I think that transparency goes a long way in building trust with students.
It does.
Did they share any specific examples of how student feedback led to changes in the course?
Yeah. One example they shared was that students were feeling overwhelmed by the amount of reading assigned each week.
Okay.
So the professor adjusted the reading load and added more in-class activities to help students process the material.
That's a simple change, but I bet it made a big difference for students.
It did.
So it sounds like this mid-semester feedback process is a really valuable tool for ensuring that the course is meeting student needs.
Absolutely.
Were there any other examples of how educators are using student feedback to shape their SLOs?
Yeah, another presenter talked about actually involving students in the development of the course SLOs. So, you know, at the beginning of the semester, they would have students brainstorm, you know, what are you hoping to learn in this course? What skills do you want to develop?
I love that.
And then they would work together to actually craft SLOs that reflected those aspirations.
That's amazing, giving students that ownership from the very beginning.
It is, and it really changes the whole dynamic of the learning process.
Did they mention any challenges in incorporating student feedback into the SLO process?
Yeah, one challenge they mentioned was ensuring that all students feel comfortable sharing their feedback.
Right, especially in a large class, that could be intimidating.
Right, so they addressed that by offering multiple avenues for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anonymous online surveys, small group discussions, one-on-one meetings with the professor.
So creating that safe and inclusive environment where everyone feels comfortable sharing their thoughts.
Exactly.
Do they discuss any strategies for analyzing and acting on student feedback?
Yeah, one tip they shared was to look for patterns in the feedback. You know, if multiple students are raising the same concern or making the same suggestion, that's a sign that something needs to be addressed.
Makes sense.
And they also emphasize the importance of communicating with students about how their feedback is being used, even if you can't implement every suggestion.
That transparency is so important.
It is.
These examples are so inspiring. It's clear that incorporating student feedback can lead to some really significant improvements in teaching and assessment practices.
Absolutely.
But it's not always easy to make these changes, especially within a large institution. So did the Friday SLO talks offer any insights into how to create that culture of continuous improvement at the departmental or institutional level?
Yes. One of the key themes that emerged was the importance of creating a supportive and collaborative environment
Okay.
where faculty feel empowered to experiment and share their experiences.
So it's about moving beyond those individual efforts and fostering a sense of collective responsibility for student learning.
Exactly. And several presenters talked about the importance of creating communities of practice within their departments or institutions where faculty can come together to discuss their SLOs, share best practices, learn from each other's successes and challenges.
Like those professional learning communities we hear about in K-12.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And these communities can take many forms. You know, it could be informal gatherings where faculty are just, you know, sharing a cup of coffee and swapping stories, or it could be more structured meetings with a specific agenda and facilitated discussions.
So what are some of the activities or topics that these communities of practice might focus on?
It could be anything related to SLOs and assessment. You
Yeah.
know, they could talk about how to align their SLOs with program level outcomes, how to design effective assessment methods, how to use student feedback to improve their teaching practices. They could even invite guest speakers to share their expertise or, you know, participate in workshops on innovative assessment strategies.
It sounds like these communities of practice can be a really powerful tool for driving innovation and fostering that culture of continuous improvement.
Absolutely.
Did the presenters share any specific examples of how these communities have impacted student learning?
Yeah, one presenter shared how their departmental community of practice led to the development of a shared rubric
Okay.
for assessing student writing across all courses in the major.
That's great. So it ensures consistency in grading,
Yeah.
but it also provides students with clear expectations and valuable feedback on their writing skills.
Exactly. And it was a real collaborative effort. You know, faculty from across the department came together to develop this rubric, and they all agreed to use it in their courses.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did they mention any challenges in establishing and sustaining these communities of practice?
Yeah, one challenge they mentioned was just finding the time and resources to support these efforts. You know, faculty are already stretched thin,
Right.
so it's important to be mindful of their time constraints
Yeah.
and to provide, you know, adequate support and incentives for participation.
Yeah, it's not enough to just tell faculty to collaborate. You have to create the structures and resources to make it possible.
Exactly.
Did they offer any suggestions for overcoming those challenges?
One suggestion was to build these communities of practice into existing structures like departmental meetings or faculty development programs, you know. So you're not adding something new to people's plates, you're just kind of integrating it into what they're already doing.
Right.
And they also emphasize the importance of administrative support,
Right.
both in terms of providing release time for faculty and in terms of, you know, recognizing and valuing these collaborative efforts.
Yeah, it's about creating a culture where collaboration and continuous improvement are valued and rewarded.
Exactly.
These insights from the Friday SLO talks are so valuable. It's really inspiring to see how educators are using these platforms to share best practices, support each other's growth, and ultimately create a more meaningful and impactful learning experience for students.
It is.
But let's not forget about the students themselves. You know, we've talked a lot about how educators are using student feedback to improve their practice. But I'm curious to hear more about how students are being empowered to take ownership of their learning and participate in the assessment process.
Yeah.
So let's explore that further. We've been talking about all these amazing strategies from coaches and their Friday SLO talks,
Yeah.
really shifting the focus from traditional assessment to something much more student-centered.
Right.
But how do we actually get students to own their learning within this new framework?
That's the real key, isn't it? Like, it's not enough to just change the way we assess learning. We have to actually change the way students engage with the learning process itself.
Absolutely.
And one of the most powerful ways to do that is to actually involve them in the assessment process.
So instead of just, you know, being on the receiving end of grades and feedback, they're actually helping to shape how their learning is evaluated.
Exactly. And the Friday SLO talks have showcased some really creative ways to do this. One presenter talked about using something called student-generated rubrics.
Student-generated rubrics. That sounds interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah, so instead of the instructor creating the rubric for an assignment, they actually guide the students in developing the criteria themselves. So they're having conversations about, you know, what does quality work look like? What are the skills that are important? And how can those skills be demonstrated?
So they're basically co-creating the assessment tool with the instructor.
Exactly. And it's really transformative for students because they gain this much deeper understanding of the learning goals and the expectations for the assignment.
They're not just trying to guess what the instructor wants. They're actually part of defining it.
Right.
Did they share any examples of how this played out in the classroom?
Yeah. The presenter, who was a writing instructor, talked about how she used this approach for a research paper assignment. And she facilitated a class discussion where students brainstormed the criteria for a well-researched, well-written paper.
Interesting.
So they talked about things like thesis clarity, evidence, quality, organization, citation accuracy. And then they worked together to create a rubric that reflected all of those criteria.
That's great. So they're not just learning about writing. They're learning how to evaluate good writing.
Right. It's that metacognitive piece.
Exactly.
And she found that students were much more invested in the assignment because they had a hand in shaping how it would be assessed.
I bet.
And they also provided each other with much more thoughtful and constructive feedback.
Yeah, because they all had that shared understanding of what they were looking for.
Exactly.
That's a fantastic example. Were there any other examples of student involvement and assessment that came up in the Friday SLO talks?
Yeah, another presenter talked about using a technique called peer feedback cafes.
Peer feedback cafes.
Okay.
I like where this is going.
Yeah, so it's basically a structured activity where students exchange work and provide feedback to each other based on specific criteria.
Okay.
And they often set it up, you know, kind of like a cafe with small groups at tables discussing each other's work in a relaxed and supportive environment.
I love that because it takes the pressure off the instructor to be the sole source of feedback.
Right.
And it allows students to really learn from each other.
Right. They're seeing different perspectives, different approaches.
Exactly. Did the presenter share any tips for making these peer feedback cafes effective?
Yeah. They emphasize the importance of clear guidelines and structure.
Cool.
So, you know, students need to know what to look for, how to provide constructive feedback that's aligned with the learning goals.
So it's not just, you know, random opinions. They're actually using a framework to guide that feedback process.
Exactly. And the presenter also found it helpful to kind of model effective feedback techniques.
Okay.
And to give students opportunities to practice giving and receiving feedback in a low-stakes setting.
So they can build their confidence and make sure that the feedback is actually helpful.
Exactly.
These are all such practical and impactful strategies.
Yeah.
It's clear that coaches and the Friday SLO talks are really doing some amazing work in shifting this whole conversation around assessment and empowering students.
Absolutely.
As we wrap up our deep dive today, what are some key takeaways you want our listeners to remember about incorporating student voice and agency into this whole assessment process?
I think the biggest takeaway is that assessment doesn't have to be this top-down, one-way street. You know, we can create a much more collaborative and engaging learning environment by involving students in the process.
Right.
Whether it's through, you know, co-creating rubrics, participating in peer feedback activities, or just providing input on, you know, course design and assessment methods.
And when we do that, we're not just improving the assessment process.
Yeah.
We're actually fostering those essential skills like critical thinking, communication, collaboration that are so important for success in life.
Absolutely. And we're empowering students to become self-directed learners who can really take ownership of their own growth and development.
This has been such an insightful journey into the world of SLOs and student-centered assessment. Huge thank you to our expert for sharing their expertise and passion for student learning.
My pleasure.
And to all of our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and inspiration for transforming your approach to assessment and empowering your students. So keep exploring, keep experimenting, and keep learning together.